Friends, welcome to Real Word Podcast. I am Brother Alain Mizal, founder of Real Word International Ministries here in Laval, Quebec, Canada. We will carry on with our series of teachings on the subject of knowing God. Our podcast is always available by subscribing to iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook, or at www.riverword.poromatic.com, and as sponsored by Riverword International Ministries here in Laval, Quebec, Canada. Now, if you happen to be following us all over the world and following our podcast, please give us your feedback. We'd appreciate that. Thank you. This week, we will start a new series of studies on the moral characters traits of God, moral character of God. And for this week, we will start with holiness. Holiness, a moral character of God. Holiness, a moral character of God. This is the first one for year 2014. Hallelujah. Now, we've just wrapped up the study of God's majestic character traits that defined his greatness, splendor, and the mighty works of his deliverance revealed in his creation. God's character traits are important for every Christian to learn because they teach us about the nature of the Father in his being. So we will today start to learn about God's moral character traits. Now, God's moral character traits are his holiness, his love, his justice, and goodness revealed in his dealings with his creation and mainly with man. Hallelujah. Now, like his majestic character traits, God's moral attributes flow as one unit. They flow as one unit. In other words, God's moral character traits or character attributes, as well as his majestic character traits, function in unison and are always present forever. We can't call God's love on Saturday, his justice on Sunday, and his goodness on Wednesday. Anytime we call on one of God's character or moral character traits, it comes in a combo, accompanied by the other majestic and moral traits. For example, if we call on God's love, well, his love will be manifested to us, all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present, and changing, perfectly holy, just, and good. Hallelujah. Now, Revelation chapter 15, verse 4, tells us a little bit about God's holiness. This is what Revelation chapter 15, verse 4 says. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. Whole nations will come and worship before you. For your righteous acts have been revealed. For your righteous acts have been revealed. To be holy is to be set apart or separated. God is by his nature holy and set apart, and anyone or anything that God sets apart for himself is also called holy. God's holiness signifies that he is separate and different from all his creation, and that there is a vast difference. There's a vast gap separating the Creator God from his creation, you and I. God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Amen. This is what Psalms chapter 5, verse 4 says. Psalms 5, verse 4. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. Hallelujah. Now, like the Hebrews of the First Testament, Christians today tend to forget about God's holiness, and we instead focus on His love and mercy and grace and etc., etc. Now, consider David's experience with God, you know, when he was moving the Ark of the Covenant to his temple. And when Uzzah, one of his servants, tried to touch the Ark of the Covenant, he was trying to help God out. And that reminded the Hebrews of God's holiness. Let's read this in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it. For the oxen stumbled. Now, we see here that the oxen stumbled and the ark was leaning. And then Uzzah, in his flesh, in his human mind, felt that he can help God and try to basically catch the Ark of the Covenant and trying to keep it steady. But then, and the anger of the Lord, verse 7, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And God smote him there because he put forth his hand to the ark. And he died there beside the ark of God. And David was angry because the Lord had broken forth upon Uzzah. And that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. Now, Isaiah gives us a little glimpse of God's holiness following his encounter with God. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 5 says this, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe to me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, God has always, in all his splendor and holiness, wanted to reveal his holiness to sinful, weak, and fragile men. But he couldn't do this without the risk of destroying man by the awesomeness of his holiness and power. Now, in order to achieve this, God will choose the Hebrews as a people through a covenant with Abraham and will set them apart among the people of the earth. Now, God set the Hebrews as a holy nation that will shine the light of God upon the pagan people around them. This is what God said in Exodus chapter 19, Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 to 6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my own possession among all the peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. God is saying that Israel is going to be my people, is going to be my own possession. It's going to be a holy nation. Hallelujah. A kingdom of priests, a holy nation. This was God's plan and God's purpose for Israel and the Hebrews as a people and Israel as a nation. Hallelujah. God will therefore show his holiness to the Hebrews through Moses and the prophets, major and minor, and at Mount Horeb, and through the tabernacle, where God will come and visit his people. Finally, God will decide to put flesh and blood on his holiness, willing to come and dwell in the midst of his people and be the living example of holiness. That is through Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One. Now, even the demons recognized Jesus as the Holy One. They recognized his holiness. This is can be seen in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 verses 24 to 24. Jesus coming into a synagogue, and immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Verse 24, and he cried out, the man cried out, and the spirit in the man was talking, saying this, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are." This is the demon telling Jesus, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God. I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Hallelujah. Now, Jesus further demonstrated his holiness at the Mount of Transfiguration, Mount Tabor. This is reported in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 7. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain apart. He took them apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him, whom? Jesus. There appeared with them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is well that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents or 3 booths here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Hallelujah. He was still speaking when lo, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved son." A voice from the cloud. God telling the Peter and James and John, telling them, "Behold, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." Now, just as God is holy, he wants you as imitators of Christ, as Christians, to live a life that is holy and separated before him. Now, when you become born of the Spirit or born again, you become separated from the world. God put his Holy Spirit in you to help you live a life that is separated from the world. The Holy Spirit in you writes God's word on the fleshly tablets of your heart. So you live in this world as a Christian, but you are not of this world. Your way of life and standards must be totally different from those of the world. Now, this is what Peter had in mind and said it in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen race. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, God's own possession, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Hallelujah. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Jesus added this along the same line, actually, concerning you. And he says this in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Hallelujah. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. So let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. That they may see your good works. Hallelujah. They may see your way of life. Your higher standard of life. Hallelujah. So they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When would they give glory to your Father who is in heaven? When they will see your higher way of life. When they will see your holy way of life. When they will see your high standard of living in this world. Hallelujah. Now, the Greek word for holy is hagios. Hagios. H-A-G-I-O-S. Hagios. That's the Greek word for holy. It also means saint. So the Greek used the same word to mean holy and saint. A person that God has set apart for himself. The Hebrew term used to define that which is set apart or holy and separate is Makadesh. Makadesh. Hallelujah. Now consider the words of Paul to the assembly at Corinth. This is what Paul said to the assembly at Corinth when he wrote to the Corinthians. He says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2. To the church of God which is at Corinth. To the church of God which is at Corinth. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Hallelujah. Now, the word used here by Paul that is wrongly translated church, actually, when he says to the church of God, which is in Corinth. Actually, that word church was wrongly translated from the Greek Septuagint language. And that word was ekklesia. Ekklesia, E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A, ekklesia. And really, the original Hebrew word that was translated ekklesia was the word synagogue, synagogue, or the word, the Hebrew word, ida, ida, E-D-A-H, or kahal, kahal, which means kahal, K-A-H-A-L, which means an assembly or a gathering of people, in this case, of saints. Amen? So Paul is saying that when God called you to himself, and you became a Christian, so by virtue of God's call, you became set apart. By virtue of God's call, you became set apart, sanctified in Christ, and a saint. I'm saying you became a saint. You became a saint. The Greek word for call used in this passage by Paul, when it says called, hallelujah, called to be saints, called, the word call in this passage, the Greek word for call is kletos, kletos, K-L-E-T-O-S, kletos, which means divinely selected and appointed. You are divinely selected and appointed. Now, you may not feel like, walk like, or live like a saint, but that is how God sees you. And his desire is to see you live up to that sainthood. How? How would you live up to that sainthood? Well, it's by letting the Holy Spirit of God live the life of Jesus Christ through you and inviting him to lead your life day by day. And before you know it, you will start to reflect the image and likeness of Jesus Christ and be worthy of Peter's admonition in 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 to 16. 1 Peter says this, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, Jesus who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Amen and amen and amen. Well, thank you for listening to our bi-weekly podcast. You can always reach this podcast at our website, www.riverword.podomatic.com, or through our other Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube links. Thank you. The Lord bless you. See you next week. Goodbye.